Amen. I had prepared something else, but as I was standing there, the Lord kind of pointed something out to me. So I'm gonna teach this, and I'll come back to it. We've been dealing with praise, but if you come back next week, maybe I'll do that if the Lord say the same. But I think this is a little bit more grounded. You got a chance to shout and run and do all that last week. Now let's try to get a deposit. All right. I like sweet stuff too. Not as much now though. I don't like it as much now because it didn't hang around when I used to eat it. Now I just hang around. So me and sugar having a fight. And how many know you got to work on your health too? Isaiah 1, you got to work on your health. Ain't nothing worse than dying with a calling on your life early. Ain't nothing worse, I think, because you rob humanity. Everything God give you is for somebody else. If people could get this, brother, their life would be 100% better. Everything God really give you, or most things he give you, is for somebody else. And he done put a lot in you, and we don't want you to tap out early. Amen. And you don't want to be because of health reasons, especially if you could do something about it, you know. Sometimes it's just as easy as starting with the cabinet. I don't care what you paid for it. If it's harming you, throw it away. Amen. I still eat some ribs, but for the most part, a lot of stuff I can't eat no more. Because I want to get all my days. I don't want to shorten them for no foolishness. And if that means you got to let go of culture to extend your life, let go of culture. Mama, I don't eat chitlins no more. Deacon Strange, like, move on, preacher. No, I don't eat chitlins no more. Isaiah 1. If you give me a few minutes. Let's just read it. First, Isaiah 1:19. He says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, refuse what? To be willing and obedient. Willing ain't enough because Jesus said the spirit is willing. You can't control your flesh. The flesh is weak. And that's most people's problem. Even people who call themselves speaking in tongues, I don't know what they be speaking in because they can't control their flesh. They can't control anyway. He says, if you do this, you're going to be devoured with the sword. Sword is a type of, in this instance, a type of due judgment. Okay? It's a type of due judgment. If you do this, he said, if you're not willing and obedient, then the opposite of that is rebellion. He said, you're going to be devoured with the sword. Do you think he playing? Do you think he playing? He not playing. He says, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified. After hearing the word of truth, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ask for utterance and the anointing. Ask for you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Come help me for a second, baby. So, I think he redirected me because really there's been some things just on my heart. But for really about the last two or three weeks, you try to preach hard when people in caves. You know, like depression, stuff like that. Some of you had that on you. So you proclaim the gospel, you get it off people. And when it's off, you go back to more balanced stuff, stuff to help people get what they really want in life. And one of the ways that you get what you want in life is through obedience. And it's interesting to me that he started off by saying, come, let us reason together. Some people are so unreasonable, right? Maybe you're married to an unreasonable person. Don't raise your hand, but just say amen. You scared, ain't you? Yeah, I know. They're just so unreasonable that you can't reason with them. And that's the way they are with God. They are like that with you because they like that with God. They're not reasonable. And he be trying to bless people. They won't let him bless them. We have a tendency to listen better when we in a panicky situation. Your attention becomes better. You don't sleep in church when you think they're about to divorce you or fire you, or you think you're about to die or somebody you love about to die. People have attention to pay attention then. All the other time, God said, you're unreasonable because you heard me the first time and you would not listen. And as long as you had what you needed and you can sustain yourself, you didn't see no need to be obedient to me. But there comes a point where you get at the end of the rope. You get at the end of that rope. And then we start looking and saying, man, maybe I should listen to God. Maybe I should go back and revisit some of the things that God has spoken to me. Some people would never get God's best in this life because they would never be obedient. I would like to think that everybody's going to be able, I hope, I pray, everybody's able to get the best that God wants for them. However, I've lived a while. The best for humanity would be what? All men would be saved. That's what Jesus wanted, right? Will all men be saved? No. In essence, I want the best, but I know most people, a lot of people, would never get God's best because they will not be obedient. As if obedience is a cuss word. Like it's a bad word. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I mean, as a pastor, even pastoring people, when especially like a man, if a man tried to pull, if he ever pulled his man card on me and I'm trying to shepherd him, I'm going to let him play his deck. That means he's saying, you can't tell me what to do. I'm a man just like you. Have it your way. Huh? It don't really affect me. I'm only a messenger. I don't live for you. I serve him, but I don't live for you. You live for you. And when people won't obey God, what they are really saying is, I don't really believe he's going to withhold his best from me. What they're saying, Minister Avery, is that they really believe God is bluffing. They really believe he's bluffing. And it doesn't matter what God feels. He don't live by his feelings. He has to, brother. Sis, he got to govern himself by what he said. If he violates it for you, that makes him a liar. He can't be God no more. So he never going to change it for you. What has to happen? Humanity must change for him. And when you want God's best, how many know that you're willing to change? They look at the words like submission and faithfulness and honor, but people don't like obedience. So no matter how much God wants to bless them, he cannot bless them because he violates spiritual order. And see, one of the ways to escape, because the devil on some of you, you know, I called the name of one person this morning to my wife, and I think that's why God was just drawing my attention earlier, but for whatever reason, I can be a little slow sometimes. But you see these things up on people. And oftentimes you say, hey, is this a demonic attack or was this a demonic invite? Did they invite the devil in this thing? Was it an attack or did they invite him in? Now, you would have to know that if a person been saved and really saved, they know what's God and what's not God. If they never read it, they know it because the Spirit of God will minister to them. And you see these things where you can't escape the demonic attack. They say attack anyway, or the afflictions in their life because they will not obey God. Like certain things, the devil puts things on you to break you, to take from you, or he's on assignment to kill you. You can believe that. And Jesus is the one who said the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But when you think about it, you're not going to escape these attacks or these afflictions. Many other afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver them out of them all when they obey. Because some things he know you're not going to change if he don't leave you in there a little longer. So you be screaming. You say, why is this going on so long? He said, because you're not going to obey me. I got to make sure that you really going to do what you say you're going to do. You know, I shared with my wife this morning. I'm not no perfect man, but most of the time I'm pretty consistent with my behavior. If I tell you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. Very, very rarely, if I tell you I'm going to do something, I don't do it. Most of the time I may have forgot or I got overwhelmed or I just can't get to it. And I will let people know. But if I tell you I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. Because I've learned that no is a complete sentence, and I don't have to explain certain things to you. No is no. So when you think about this statement, in other words, some people whine about their life, but they won't do nothing to change it. They will not obey God. They talk about how difficult the marriage is. You give them counsel. You tell them exactly what to do. They won't do it. And then they find the next person that'll listen to them. And they'll whine. And they'll complain, but they won't obey. They'll fuss and they'll fret. And they'll fight, but they won't obey. They will not obey the scriptures. You know, I go back, and it's just on my mind. And I don't know why God got me retracing the opportunity to prosper. Because a lot of times, a lot of people have been around preachers who stole. He was a thief before he became a preacher. He didn't just start stealing because he was a preacher. He was stealing, and y'all knew it when y'all put him in there. So when somebody talk about opportunity to prosper and showing people that, people think about their last pastor, but we good over here. So you tell them, hey, you're not going to come up under that financial lack. You're never going to come off under it. You're never going to come off under it. You're never going to come off under it because you don't tithe, but they won't obey. And then they keep whining that they ain't got enough. You know, you tell people, the Bible tells women, submit to your husband. I'll submit to him when he starts following everything from God. That is not the requirement. That's not what he said. That is not, you made that up. That is not what he said. But then they want a happy marriage. Amen, oh my. And the brother wants us to submit to him, but you won't even work. You won't even pay the bills. You won't even come home on time. You won't do nothing. Because you will not honor her and treat her like Christ treats the church. You won't give yourself for her. You work her like a dog, and she got to bring it home and give it to you. But yet you want some happy marriage. You living in a fantasy world because you will not obey the scriptures. If you won't obey the scriptures, you're not going to obey no man. That's why I don't lose no sleep. If you won't listen to him, you're not going to listen to me. Everybody that Jesus ministered to, they didn't do what he said. And the sword got them. They was eventually devoured by the sword. And if some of you don't watch your mouth, your sword is going to be the same sword that woke against you. Because you won't watch your mouth. You feel like you can just say anything because you grown. Don't let your sword, your tongue, get you fired. Don't let your sword cause your spouse to leave you. Because you feel like you can say anything to them. So sometimes people won't obey the Spirit of God or the Word of God because somebody put these religious ideas in their mind. Some of them I just gave you right there. That the Lord just going to do it. He not just going to do it. When he going to do it? When you obey him. Man, my mind going like 100 miles a minute. He not just going to do it. There are things that he set up, he told us to do. If we won't do it, then he don't do it. He's under no obligations. That's why certain things he requires to do starts with if. If you do this, I'll do that. If you don't do this, I ain't doing that. If it's conditional. So one of the things that people have made, are y'all okay? Is that you can live any kind of way in church and think God just going to bless you. He not. It preached good. I've been doing this a long time. I've seen a whole bunch. And this ain't my first church. And I've been doing this a long time. And I guarantee you he won't do it. It just preached good. And a phoria what make you fantasize about stuff that ain't going to happen. Preach Holy Ghost. But when you know what God wants from you, you know what he's requiring from you. When you give it to him, then he give you what he wants you to have. But these religious ideas, he just going to do it. Regardless of if you obey God or not, that's not true. So some people are hard-headed. They are so stubborn. And you know why? A lot of times they will not come off of their hard-heartedness, their hard head, and their stubbornness. It's because somebody keeps fixing for them what God refused to do for them. When you see people and their behavior will not change, somebody's playing God for them. Some daddy playing God for his daughter. Some mama playing God for their son. That's why he won't change. They the problem. And what you don't want to have happen is God have to take you out the way before they change. Because everybody ain't going to put up with them like that. Preach Holy Ghost. Everybody not going to put up with them like that. And so somebody's doing for them. What if they just get out the way and shut their mouth, just because you know you don't got to tell people the answer. You tell them when God tell you to tell them. Because he already done told him. And why would he tell me then? Why would God let me know the answer? I'm letting you know the answer because I'm letting you know that they already know. If you're willing and what? And obedient. So you're not walking by faith. This is one of the biggest killers in the body of Christ. It makes no difference if you have, you call yourself interdenomination of faith and won't nobody obey God. They ain't moving by no faith. They ain't moving no mountains. They ain't conquering no hills and destroying and doing great exploits for God. That is a lie. Because if you're not going to obey God, there's no way you can be walking by faith. And so now we want to, somebody's sick and we want to put our hands on them and speak all in tongues. And God say, I'm not listening to you because you wouldn't obey me last week. You wouldn't obey me last month. You wouldn't obey me last year. You didn't want to walk by no faith then. You ain't going to walk by no faith now. Say obedience of faith. You can't, matter of fact, you can't find nobody that was walking in disobedience in the Bible and God blessed them. Anyhow. I'll wait. I'll let you hit your little concordance. I'll let you Google it, Bing it. You're not going to find nobody that he did that for in disobedience. When David had numbered the people in that census and God done told him not to do it and he didn't obey God, and God sent a death angel. First he sent somebody to tell him, what you want me to do? David said, I don't, you know, whatever you do, I don't want you to turn me over to no hand or no man. You deal with me, God. God said, okay. And God sent the death angel. And within hours, tens of thousands of people are dead. Whose fault is it? David's. And when David finally goes down, and David finally go down, and David starts repenting towards the Lord, then God stilled the hand of the enemy. Now you got to think about this. Death cannot be, follow my train of thinking, death cannot be really equated with God. Because God is good. This shows you that sometimes God has to let demonic activity run in the life of a person when he knows that this devouring was because they pulled this in. And he will not let his foot off the gas. He cannot let his foot off the gas until that person or them people turn. And when David goes down and when David starts repenting, then the angel had the sword ready at a stay. He's waiting to see what David's response is going to be to God when God stopped him. See, sometimes God will stop what the enemy is doing to you, but it's not over because he's trying to see what you're going to follow through with. Say the obedience of faith. You should be paying attention because he's laying some of our life out for us right now. He's laying the life out for you. Why this happening? Because you're not obedient. Why I can't get here? Because you won't be obedient. Why I can't get here? Because you won't be obedient. Why my marriage doesn't happen? Because you won't be obedient. Why I can't get the job? Because you won't be obedient. So then we get our list of confessions we done wrote out. And we confessing the word. We shunda da da da. We confessing the word. We speaking in tongues. We confessing the word. Nothing, because God said, you still hadn't obeyed me yet. You still hadn't obeyed me yet. Look this way, please, because he's talking to you. You still hadn't obeyed me yet. What's the point in coming to church to hear a preacher if you're not going to obey the things that he's saying, telling, or she's telling you that God is saying? You still hadn't obeyed me yet. I'm a man just like them, and you're a foolish man too, because you will not listen. No, you just coming, just reading the Bible. No, I'm not standing up here just prophesying out my head. No, I'm reading the scriptures. I'm reading the scriptures to him, brother. He said, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen to co-pastor. I'm not going to do it. She just like me. Oh, really? See, because what you don't want to do is the Lord judge between you and me. That's what you don't want. Because ain't no intercession gonna help at that point. Because you pulled the card. And then God will let you play it. But I mean, no, it don't even got to go that far. I tell you, it don't even got to go that far. It don't even got to go that far. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to feel his presence. He wants to reveal himself unto people. And I've seen people do all these things and all this yelling and screaming and beating on themselves and beat and call themselves punching demons and punching this and got on camouflage fatigues. It ain't got nothing to do with all that stuff right there. The devil is beating the crap out of you because you will not obey God. That's just foolery. We call that being in the spirit. You in a spirit, all right. You in a spirit. Clap your hands for me. I want the people of God blessed. I don't have no time to be playing on church. I'm too old to be. Some of y'all got time. I don't have no time like that to mess with you. And I don't like talking all the time. Right? Meaning that I don't want to counsel every single person every single day. All they got to do is obey God and they wouldn't need nobody to talk to. But we up here turning churches into counseling centers, preaching to a bunch of people who won't obey God, and that's all their problem is. Say, obey God. Why can God do this? Because God don't owe you nothing. How can he put conditions like that? Because he don't owe you nothing. He didn't even have to let you be born. That wasn't your mom and daddy. They just had an act. 15, 20 minutes. God did all that. Amen, oh my. He didn't even have to let you be born. He don't have to do nothing for you because he don't owe you nothing. And we're not trying to earn anything from God, but we are trying to please him. Don't you want to be good for your kid when they go out of their way to please you? When they get good marks in school, that ain't just because they inherited that from you. You know you never got no good grades in school. They working hard, right? And you ain't got to tell them how smart they are. You ain't got to applaud them like that. You applaud them for putting the work in, putting the time in, because then you'll start making them think they got some inflated intelligence. And really they was only successful because they put the work in. And because they put the work in, then they got the answers. And so when you put the work in and you're trying to please the Father, tell somebody God will please you. Now, you ain't working for it, but you're putting effort into it because you're trying to please God. Is it okay to please a person? Huh? Yeah. I'm not trying to please, Pastor. Then why you take the position? I'm pausing for effect. Why you take the position if you're not going to work to please that person? You are an extension of them. That's the only reason why you're in the position. It's because that was too much work for them to do, or your gift's superior in that area than theirs. But just because your gift is superior, that don't make you above them. You took the position because of them. Why wouldn't you do it to please them? I'm not trying to please no man. Then get out the way. I need somebody who's going to do it to the standard that I want. I'm just doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for me. God don't need your help. I need your help. You do it as unto the Lord. There's a revelation of a difference. You better get what I'm saying. I say there's a revelation of a difference. You better get what I'm saying. If I give it to you and I ask you to do it for me, you do it to please me. And you're doing it as unto the Lord. You wonder why you ain't got rewarded for all your efforts? Because you did it to satisfy you, and so God wouldn't reward you because you wouldn't do it to satisfy me. Boy, you better get that revelation right there. In other words, God's not going to change because you get mad. God's not going to change because you don't come back. Don't look at nobody, say so. We want you here, but say so. No, because people make it a big deal about people. So if you ain't making them feel like they some demagogue, they don't feel like they're important. You should already know you're important when you walk in the door. We're trying to find our place in the kingdom. We're trying to please the Father. We're trying to get the Holy Ghost into the building. We're trying to get people saved out of darkness and out of hell and to the Father. We got to work as a unit to do that. But if you don't want to do it, just say so. Don't look at nobody. Say next man up. Who the next man? Who the next woman? We got to. God not going to change because you quit coming to church or quit paying your tithes. I shared this with y'all. Like when people think they won't, they giving ain't going to hurt, I told you God will give it to somebody else. What he was going to give to you, he gave it to somebody else. And I said, or he'll give it to me. And he is. But all of it wasn't for me. Some of it was for you. But you wouldn't give it. So he gave it to people who would give it. The promotion really was yours. But you work with a peer that's saved. And your peer is trying to please the Father. And your peer is giving it to the kingdom. Maybe not here, but he or she giving it to the kingdom and you not. So God gave them the promotion and not you, even though you was qualified. And you stood around and talked about, I was more qualified for them. I done worked harder than them. But God said, you ain't no tither. I was trying to bless somebody who was going to advance my kingdom. Both of y'all come to church, but you won't help advance the kingdom. And they will. Say the obedience of faith. You're not in no faith if you ain't obedient. I don't know no plainer way to say it. You're not in no faith. And you not walking in obedience to the word. You're kidding yourself. And God be trying to set you up for a breakthrough, but you won't do it. You're not entitled to anything. And this is why sometimes God will delay fixing people's problems because they got an entitled mindset. It took you 20 years to screw your life up, and then you want God to fix it in 20 days. And God say, how am I going to undo 20 years of your mess and teach you something in the process if I just do it to you, do it immediately because you ask? You're going to be on the same cycle of rinse, lather, repeat because you ain't learned nothing. You took 30 years out there dealing with the devil, and you won't take 30 seconds to renew your mind. Say, I'm going to get rid of this entitled mindset. Shout, get your mind straight. Say, get your mind straight. Could the mind be the reason a lot of people are unhappy? Yeah. Man, I'm just God created me like that. No, he didn't. Somebody handled you wrong. They put all that stuff in you. Could the mind be the problem? If the mind is the problem before you got saved, why is the mind the problem after you get saved? Look this way. Why is it the problem after you get saved? Because you really won't renew your mind with this. See, certain problems ain't supposed to follow you. If the mind was the problem before you got saved, that means that you have received information from a source that has created those problems. They come out through your behaviors. But the way that you get rid of that is, I don't care what these counselor people say. They can put a definition on whatever they want to say. I can care less. They can stand up here and make me look like a fool with all their definitions. I can care less. Ain't nothing wrong with my mind. See, all that stuff you believe in, you know why it's lingering? Because you won't renew your mind. It's like a computer. At some point, it could be working perfect. If it get viruses, consider virus to be dirt, poison. If somebody put a virus or a bug in it, a perfectly good operating system, I don't care if you just bought it yesterday, download something, you ain't got no business and see what happened. It'll mess it up. How do you get rid? You have to wipe it. You have to renew it. And they put a disc most of the time. They used to anyway. I buy Apple products, so I don't do that no more. But they used to put disc in it. And all you had to do was put the disc in, run it, and it would wipe it clean all over again. How many know that God will wipe your mind too? Because you're not going to obey. You're not going to obey God with the same mind that you came to him in. So this debunks the theory that God will accept me exactly the way I am. He will accept you the any way you come to him. But his goal is to wash your mind so that you would obey him so that he could bless you. But he'll receive you any way he can. And that, you know, as an IT person, there's some systems that we just couldn't fix. We couldn't throw it away because it was on the government's property books. You follow me, Mike? So I can't just throw it away even though I could not fix it. I could not do anything for it. I can't just throw it away. I just put it on the shelf. See, and that's what God have to do with some people. When he buy you, you are his, but he can't use you because you won't renew your mind. So he just take you and put you on the shelf. He don't throw you on the way because you're going to make it to heaven, but he got to put you away because he cannot use you. This is good to me. So I can just come anywhere I can. You can. But he wants people to change. When the last time that you personally identified change in you? When people stop working, they say stuff like this. This is just the way I am. You know what that's code for? I ain't working on myself no more. Preach Holy Ghost. This is just the way I am. And God said, okay. Shout next man up. Next man up. Amen. This is just the way I am. I can't change. I can't help it. You, that's a lie. You can help it. You won't help it. I can't do nothing about it. That's not true. That's a lie. People hate to be called a lie. But they can change it. They won't change it. Do you know why? Because after a while you've done this, you start to realize people can't make you. Any person led by the Spirit won't even try. Preach Holy Ghost. Well, what are you saying? A person who's led by the Spirit of God will never demand you or force or make you. Because to be made to do something, it works like this. The Holy Spirit leads you. The devil drives you. The Holy Spirit tells you what you should do. He don't come to your house and try to make you do it. He tells you what to do. So I never said I didn't care. I'm saying I ain't going to make you. Because you're trying to lead people by the Spirit. So you don't make them. Or they shouldn't feel like they're being made to do it. Like, you can't make people come to church. But people who miss a lot, they're going to be the most problematic saints in the whole church. Mother Sheridan, I grew up in churches. Welcome, by the way. I grew up in churches where people were born in the same church and died in the same church. No, that's a good thing. Now people beat them because they won't obey God. And anybody who challenges their nonsense, they find another place. And another place. And another place. And another place. They won't commit to no place. What is that proof of? They really not committed to God. Because the truth of it is, and I've said this before, you ain't even been pastored until you've been rebuked. If you ain't never been rebuked, you ain't never been pastored. And therein lies your problem. Open rebuke is better than secret love. And so when a person is doing that, God has allowed them to see something that's out of alignment, that if that person bring that thing under alignment, they life would shoot straight up like a rocket. That marriage would turn around overnight. Financially, they'd be out of that debt in no time. Their body would be healed. I don't care what the disease is. As you come in alignment, your life gonna shoot straight up. Straight up like a rocket. And I hope I'm there to see it because I'm going to celebrate you. I say I'm going to celebrate you. I want you to go up. I don't want people to go down. I don't want to see busted marriages and people getting divorced and people sick as dogs till they die. Everybody going to die, but I sure don't want to be sick as no dog dying. I want to do it like they did it in the Bible. Live out all my days and just lay down after I done ate some chicken or some pizza or something and I done got my full and ate me some sweet potato pie or some banana pudding. Not that box stuff either. Not that box stuff. The real banana pudding. And then I just lay down full and go home to be with the Lord. Happy. How about you? I don't want no tubes all in my nose, all in my arms. People laying around me crying. They're like, man, he got the max out of that body right there. And obedience will extend it for you. And disobedience will shorten it for you. So the mindset could be the reason why people are not happy. I'm going to have to stop in a second. Let me go this. Go to Mark 10. I got to skip some stuff. I'm not perfect. But I tell you, because I'm really saved, it's hard for me to do something wrong and stay in that vein. Because God won't leave me alone. I don't have no problem sleeping. But when he started messing with it, then I started asking myself, my first response ain't what's going on in other people's life. My first response is what's going on in my life. See, a lot of people God can help, even though they called in the ministry, because they lived their whole life trying to fix other people and they never considered that they got problems. Until it's too late. In Mark 10, verse number 17, Jesus, when he gone forth in this way, it said the people came running and kneeling to him. This young man, he's excited to see the Father. And ask him, he says, good master, this is the rich young ruler, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So his excitement is there. He done heard the preaching of Jesus, Mark 10, 17. He done heard the preaching and the teaching. He's seen the miracles. He heard them people talking about Jesus, heard Jesus talking about the kingdom of God and eternal life, and he wants this. Do you know when you see and hear the testimony of people and when you share your testimony publicly and you sharing it amongst each other, sometimes you have to say it loud enough to capture the ear of the person that's ear hustling. because you're trying to pull them to the kingdom. And somehow he puts us, he being the Father, puts us into situations with people with the same problems that you had. And they need to know that there's a God that can help them like he helped you. So this man comes to Jesus and he said unto Jesus, Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but one. What does he say? That is God. How many is it? So he comes across like he got this great revelation of who God is, but he doesn't. And, you know, as I've done this, I've ran into this so many times. I've ran into this so many times because, like, in our churches, you can typically get away with your gift if people don't have discernment and the revelation of what's happening. So Jesus calls him on it. He's acting like he got this relationship with God, and he talking to God. How many know that God know? I say, how many know God know? Meaning you can fool some of the people some of the time. You can't fool all the people all the time. And you can't fool God none of the time. So Jesus calls him on it because he don't know it. He says, "Thou, you know the commandments. You know the word." He says, do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Right? Do not defraud. Honor thy mother and thy, watch what this man said. Honor thy mother and thy father and thy mother. And he answered, what does he say to Jesus? He said, he answered and said to him, Master, all these I have obeyed from my youth. What's the revelation right there? Sometimes you can find people who are not even born again morally in a better condition than people who are born again. It's just too boring. I'm finna close in a second. I promise I gotta stop. You can find, so morality ain't the key. He's playing this role with Jesus. He said, I done all this. And watch this. Jesus doesn't correct him. Jesus didn't say, no, you a lie. You did it. No, Jesus does not correct this man. This man is a good man. This man has standards with his life, but he got a problem, Jesus said. And Jesus behold him, verse number 21, looked at him and loved him, not scolded him. He loved on the man because he knew the man did not understand revelation. You cannot understand revelation apart from the Spirit. And Jesus is talking to this man from the Spirit, but he has no understanding. And so Jesus is loving up on him because he says he's talking out of his ignorance. He doesn't know what he's saying and not saying. And he said unto him, Jesus said, one thing that you lack. One thing. He said, go your way, sell whatever you got, liquidate everything you got and give it to the poor. And then Jesus said, you'll have treasure in heaven. Well, I thought you couldn't buy eternal life. Hang in there now. I thought you can't buy eternal life. You can't buy eternal life. He's trying to show him that his money is a god. He's trying to show him that until he's willing to give up whatever that is, whatever your thing is, whatever his thing was money, he said, you cannot come to the Father. This is a lot of people's problem right now. And this is why you are seeing people who are active in church and they are not born again. because they like religion. They like studying the word. They like understanding, but they will not give up their God to receive the one God. They will not give it up under no circumstances, because what in their mind they're saying, if the church and God fail me, I still got this. I still got this. And they won't give it up. What is God asking you to give up to have him? Today. What is he asking you? What is not your mama, not your sister, nobody else, not somebody else that didn't come to church today. What is God asking you to give up to gain him? What does it profit you to have everything in this stinking, fading world that's going to burn? And then lose your soul. What does it gain to be popular or be on TV? And this is why some of you got to start talking to your kids, because they got stars in the eyes. They want to be a celebrity. They want to be this. They want to be that. The very thing God would have gave them, God will put your name in the wind. He'll blow your name in the wind and carry it from one corner of the earth to the other corner. But you trying to work your way in. God said, you got another God. You got another God. One of the things he's pushing now, and I'm not against it. I may go back to school my own self. But people are using, the devil is using education like a god. Everybody want to be a doctor. Everyone want to put a master's in this and the master's in that and divinity in this and divinity in that. And they like this rich young ruler. They don't even know God. I say they don't even know God. Some of them don't even know the Father. And it's this love for learning. It's this it's this love for knowledge that people have. They don't want to know God. They just want to know about God. But God wants you to know him. God wants us to have a personal relationship with him. God wants you to be saved and know you saved. If you die tonight, would you really go to heaven? I know you said it. Don't answer the question. But if you die tonight, would you open up your eyes in heaven? Or are you going to burn, bust hell wide open? And then people be like that video my wife posted the other day. People, I knew I should have listened to so-and-so. I knew I should have listened to my mama. I knew I should have listened to my daddy. I knew I should have listened to that preacher. But now it's too late, and God ain't coming to get you now. He would have to violate too many orders to do that. He would have to violate his own word. But how many know you can come to God right now? You in your right mind. You got health and strength in your body. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You can turn from our wickedness. We can obey God. We can live for the Father. You can live this out. Christianity is too hard. It's too hard to live. Yeah, when you're not obeying the Father. Of course it's hard. But how many know God wants us to follow him? He wants us to take up our cross. And we're supposed to do well. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to stop right there. Can you come back next week? I'm going to share this one little point, though. Jesus asked this man to give this up. Sister Donna, he wouldn't give it up. As a matter of fact, the scripture says he walked away grieved because he had great possession. He was excited to see Jesus and be in his presence, but he was depressed when he had to give up what he had to give up to live for. And Jesus is offering this man. A lot of you don't really realize what you're missing. Most of the stuff we'll be trying to hold on to in life, it ain't worth nothing. Some of the people we be trying to hold on to in life, bro, they ain't worth nothing. And we be trying to hold on to them. Jesus, if you go back through it and you read back through it, Jesus tells him, Sister Brooks, he says, watch this. He says, give up all that you have. Watch this, and come and follow me. How many people in scripture did Jesus say that to? 12. you don't get it. I'm unpacking. He tells this man, give up all that you got. Come follow me. How many people did Jesus ever say that to? 12. This guy, Sister Watkins, missed a chance, an opportunity to be one of the apostles. Because he did not understand the opportunity that was being presented to him. And while you sitting there listening to me, ready to go home to eat some greens that's going to give you gas, what is he offering you that you don't have no understanding? Do you know you don't even know what you created to do until you come to him? People should be bothered when you ask somebody, what has God called you to do? And they say they saved and they don't know. Colossians says, our lives, or your spiritual life, why you was created, is hidden in Jesus Christ. Why don't you know? Your life is hidden in him. India, what you're supposed to do here is really in Christ. Why wouldn't a person know? I'm asking you because I want people to think. Why don't they know? And people are missing opportunities because they will not give up anything in obedience to the faith. They won't give it up. They won't even consider it. They will leave. And they'll find other people that'll just embrace it. I'm telling you, don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss whatever God telling you to obey him in this hour. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's food. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's relationship. I don't care what it is. If God say it ain't good, it ain't good. If God tell you to get out the relationship, I don't care what you think. You just get out of it. God know what he's looking at. He know your ending before it ever began. Your beginning is his ending. He already knows how this is going to play out. If he tell you to do something, you don't question it. You don't run it by 50 different people. What should we do? We should obey. If you're in a service and you convicted about something, you don't get no attitude. You don't say, I'm going to go find some other church. You are spiritually insane. You shouldn't listen. You should not listen to them spirits that's telling you that. You should not listen to them spirits that's telling you that. You should obey God. You should listen to the Father. You should move towards the conviction. When you're convicted about something, conviction ain't condemnation. Condemnation makes you feel guilty. Conviction makes you aware that this is wrong so that you can bring your life in alignment so that the Father can bless you. Lift your hands towards heaven. Your will.